give you a little bit of advice. Don't get old. And hot flashes here for a few minutes. It is hot, is it? Okay, I thought it was me. Maybe Ross could just... Well, but we don't have time for that now. But if it is too hot, just turn it cool a little bit. You got the thing there. I thought it was just me. What happens when you have the temperature outside the same as what we got inside, the equipment won't come on. And but it gets kind of stuffy, everybody in here breathing the same air, and you don't have any fresh air, no windows open, and that's what makes it a little difficult. The Lord is good, and I was sort of occupied with the fact that Saddam was caught. And I personally wish that they had caught him today and told the world about it tomorrow. You may think I'm crazy, but that's what I was thinking about then. That's why I didn't know whether we sung Away in a Manger or not. Because talking to Bermuda, we put on the special from Green Turtle Key, the television special. And they say it went over real good. And then they added this. Boy, you just got in under the wire. Because everything, the whole lines and television just cracked. It is hot, is it? Okay, I thought it was me. Maybe Ross could just... Well, but we don't have time for that now. But if it is too hot, just turn it cool a little bit. You got the thing there. I thought it was just me. What happens when you have the temperature outside the same as what we got inside, the equipment won't come on. And... But it gets kind of stuffy, everybody in here breathing the same air, and you don't have any fresh air, no windows open, and that's what makes it a little difficult. The Lord is good, and I was sort of occupied with the fact that Saddam was caught, and I personally wish that they had caught him today and told the world about it tomorrow. You may think I'm crazy, but that's what I was thinking about then. That's why I didn't know whether we sung Away in a Manger or not, because talking to Bermuda, we put on the special from Green Turtle Key, the television special, and they say it went over real good, and then they added this. Boy, you just got in under the wire, because everything, the whole lines and television just crammed with the news about Saddam. That old devil still giving competition and trouble to Christ, even on the Lord's Day. Now, that's the way I look at things. People may look at it a lot differently than me. But however, he's caught, definitely the same man, the real man. And let's pray now that wisdom will be given. Maybe he'll turn out to be a hero when they have the court cases, if he ever reaches court. But that's beside the point. And we thank God that our man, the God-man, is still on the throne. And he doesn't have to hide in a cave on a deep hole like Saddam. When they caught him, he looked like an animal. I don't know how many saw the picture this morning on TV. Yes, and he looked like a creature more than a man, really. That's what sin does. He went into hiding, but you can hide so long, and that's about it. And so that's perhaps history now, that part, anyhow. So I want you to turn to Isaiah 61 for the conclusion of our subject on the preparation. We talked about his baptism. We talked about his temptation there. And a lot may wonder why these things are so, why he should be tempted. But God in his wisdom knows what he is doing. He wasn't tempted because there was sin in him to respond to the temptation. But the testing was to prove to us down through the centuries to the world that he was unbreakable. There was nothing there. Like people try to, you know, say that he could have sinned, but he never. That's a very dangerous and doctrine as far as I'm concerned. And is not founded in scripture at all. Because he was a man, that he was subject to all of these things. I remember years ago when they had the Tupperware shows. I don't know if they still do. It's an old illustration, but it's a fitting one. Is when they would come, I can remember where they would throw the Tupperware down on the floor to prove to us that it was unbreakable. You see? Now, that's a testing. They knew it was unbreakable, and that's why they did that. And so the Lord was tested and tempted by the devil to prove to us that he was unbreakable, okay? There was nothing within him to respond to it. And that's the idea, I believe, of test. Also, that you and I are subject to the same temptation, because the three temptations is a cardinal problems of the human race. In fact, they're the problems of every believer. Lust of the flesh, the pride of lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Those are the three main streams of problems down through the century. And it hasn't changed. But now we come to this beautiful portion, which has a double application. It was partially fulfilled when he came to the earth, born in that stable, but it's going to be totally fulfilled during his millennial reign and kingdom. That's going to be a hallelujah time on the earth. Believe me, it is. And so, as to his teaching, his ministry, his tremendous preparation that we have planned by God. And I think of one little eye-opener, if I may phrase it that way, was when the Lord Jesus, at the age of 12, you know, I wish we could have had more, don't you? But here again, God in his wisdom had prepared his own son for all those years, because after the birth of Christ, about 29 years, that we only have one little peek into his boyhood days, was when he was discussing great matters with the scribes and the Pharisees. And they couldn't get over it. We know then that there was omnipotence before those men, because no 12-year-old boy before that or since that could have ever answered and asked the questions to them. No doubt there were questions he was throwing at them too, you see. And it was then, I have no doubt in my mind that he was answering a lot of the questions. And there must have been something that really confounded them. There and then they should have realized that Jesus was God manifest in flesh, no mere person, but he was who he said he was. And so then we read a beautiful verse like that, the Spirit of the Lord is appointed me. And he says, and he has anointed me to preach. Now, the anointing is a very vital part of the Bible. Sometimes a little confusing, a lot of some people, when it comes to the New Testament. But it was a common thing for a traveler who was weary, when he came into her home, they would anoint their feet, especially wash and anoint their feet, because of refreshment. But then there was the anointing of the priests of God in the Old Testament, and because they were going to serve the Lord. They were separated unto that particular ministry, that thing. And so they were anointed. Then they, in turn, would anoint the king, as like in King Saul. Samuel anointed him. The procedure was very simple. He would bow, and then he was anointed as a chosen one, separated to the kingdom in Israel. And then, of course, you got other forms of anointing. When you come to the New Testament in particular, you have the anointing of the Lord Jesus. But this was done by a woman. Now, this was unusual, but her anointing was altogether different. It was to let those around her and him know that this anointing was for his death. Strange that woman should be given such insight. And the Lord Jesus honored her because they wanted to rebuke her. Leave her alone, because she has anointed me against my death and burial. And he praised her. And in one instance, he said, wherever the gospel is preached, this will be noted. This will be noted. And I'm sure that many a preacher has preached on that particular anointing. Then he had an anointing at his baptism, a designated anointing that this is the Messiah. This is the anointed of God. And declaring to the world again, because that's what baptism is about too. And in this case, declaring to the world that he was truly the Messiah. Thus John said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It was a vital anointing. Now when we come to the church, There is a little difference here now. At Pentecost, when the Spirit of God descended on the church, which we believe was the birth of the church at Pentecost. And because of this, there was also an anointing by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you read some of the parts, early part of the Acts, you might get confused because you say the Spirit came upon them. And then when later on it said, did you receive the Holy Spirit since you believed, you know, upon believing, because that was a tremendous event. It was a new experience. It was the coming of the Comforter, the Spirit of God. And but as we read Paul's epistles, we now learn that that anointing took place. The Spirit of God comes into every believer the moment he trusts the Lord. Now, the fullness of the Spirit, of course, comes in your daily walk, our daily ministration, our daily life. And the fullness can happen many, many times. And but you've been anointed. Does that surprise you? Every child of God is the anointed one, according to John's epistle. However, that is the positional side of anointing. That takes place, all right, once and for all, which means you are separated people. We are separated unto Him. But there comes an anointing day by day in our life because we need to be separated unto the ministry for which He called us. Remember, I reminded you not long ago, we're all servants of God. We must dismiss from our minds the mentality or the thought that the only servants of God are those who preach. This is a tragic conclusion. If you stick to that, you're never really going to fulfill the ministry by which God has designated each one of us for. If you think the elders are the designated servants of God, or the deacons are the only the designated servants of God, the Sunday school teachers are the only designated servants of God, you're going to be deluded and you're going to be robbed. You are a minister and you are a servant of God. Please don't forget that. And God uses you in a particular way. I can't tell you what way is you're going to serve Him or be used of Him, but the Lord Jesus is the perfect example. What did He do? Well, He did things in a unique way anyhow, everything He did. His whole mission was in reaching people, the down and outers, the rejected ones. Wouldn't it be nice if we could follow that example? You know, Christmas is a beautiful time. I love it, don't you? I really appreciate it. And but it's always on the receiving end for a lot of people. What I can get out of it, and it's receive, receive, receive. Boy, wouldn't it be nice if we could just determine this year, I'm going to give someone something that they cannot give me back in return. You think of that. That's a servant of Christ. That's a servant of God. Anointing that comes on us, that we're going to make up our minds this year. I know I've touched on it briefly, but it needs repeating. Because of this anointing, will challenge us and open our eyes to the needs about us. The people that in other parts of the world, which we don't have time to go into and talk about, but many of our missionaries are retired. Some are forced to retire. They're home in Canada, America, and England, simply because governments do not want them. And some of them suffer terribly by getting out of the country. In fact, I understand, Brother Keddie's daughter, son-in-law, getting out of Arabia. Maybe his time is up. I don't know, but I hope his time is ready because it's so dangerous in that country. If you give out a gospel tract, you can be put in prison for life. Can you imagine that? And the Western world supports those countries and defends them and a host of other things we do for them just because we want to get oil out of their wells. Okay? And so, but they can come live in America. I use America as an illustration. And they could build their mosque. And they could do their teaching. They could even proselytize. But that's okay. But they will put you literally to death in those countries. And you'll be surprised how many Christians are suffering in Sudan right now because of the Muslim population. But God knows they're anointed servants of God. They're choice Christians who love the Lord. and need our prayers today. I thank God for the anointing of Christ, and each one of us has that anointing as well. I'm not saying you should pray, Lord, anoint me. Lord, anoint me. There are some people always praying, Lord, fill me, Lord, fill me. And they believe in another baptism of the Spirit. Like you got when you were saved. It happened at Pentecost. And when you were saved, that happened in your life. We're baptized into the body of Christ. But so they're always asking for additional benefits and additional baptisms of the Spirit. Now, their cry for what they want is good. But they're just going about it in a different way. Unfortunately, there's the other side of the pendulum. We swing from one side to the other. Then you have us who perhaps believe I'm indwelt by the Spirit, full stop. If that's true, we have been robbed. We've been robbed. Because it must be difficult to try to do anything for the Lord in your own strength, without the anointing and fullness of the Spirit of God. And believe me, while I very seldom pray for His fullness, but God knows my aching heart. I feel so empty sometimes. I feel so cold. I even said this morning to the Lord, Lord, I don't even know if I can minister this morning. That's how I feel physically speaking, all right? I don't want your pity now. I just need your prayers. Brother Riley knows what I'm talking about. And Freddie's just starting now and others. And I'm not tired of the work. I love it. Believe me. I want to do it till I die. But the thing is this. I can't do it without an anointing. I need His fullness. I need His blessing. I need the prayers of God's people, of God's children. We can't do it alone. Because it says He has given me the anointing to preach good tidings to the meek. To the meek, I guess, could be interpreted in various ways. But meekness, it doesn't come very quickly. Meekness is not when you're driving down the street and somebody overtakes you because they're mad because you're going 20 miles an hour in Spanish Wells. And they're angry and angry. I mean angry. And then when they pass you going 25 to 30, they turn up the hill one block ahead of you. Now, I call it stupidity myself, but meekness is trying to hold in. I have more temptations to be angry when I'm driving in the streets of Spanish Wells than anywhere that I know. My wife can tell you. She says, honey, I say, oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. I got to keep it in. I got to shut my mouth. Meekness. But meekness is that lowly spirit that you consider others. You consider others. That's what meekness is. Meekness is very slow to argue and slow to defend. There was a church service going on. It was packed. Sophisticated church. A hippie got saved. And he was told to go to church. So the poor fella walked down the aisle and he was looking for a seat, and not one person would move over and let him in. Because he didn't look the kind. Long hair and bearded. And maybe his clothes wasn't that well kept as well. And so the man went right up to the front. Would you believe that? And not one person would move. And finally, he sat on the floor up at the front of the chapel. And because he just wanted to hear the word of God. But before he sat down, a very wealthy man who was a deacon in that church could hardly walk with this walking cane. And he walked right up to the front. And would you believe that he rested his cane down on the floor and with pain and no doubt groaning, he sat down by that hippie. When the preacher got up, he says, what I will preach to you today, you will not remember it. But what you have seen this morning, you will never forget. That was meekness, you see. Going alongside of a needy person. Helping the rejected ones. It takes the anointing to do that. It takes the grace of God. But that's what Jesus did. We've had all kinds of illustrations in the New Testament of his walk in life. Beautiful, beautiful illustration. And you know them well. But I like this. He says, he's also helped me, sent me rather to heal the brokenhearted. This preparation to heal the brokenhearted. There are a lot of brokenhearted people in Spanish Wells today. You know, we are an affluent society, and everything look on the surface look like it's well. But it's not well. Don't be deluded or live a life of a lie. We've got parents who are hurting in this land tonight, today rather. And I mean hurting. Your children are disobedient. Some of them are arrogant. When they go out at night, they're in a frenzy. Their anxiety level runs very high because they don't know whether they're going to be in trouble or not. And let me tell you something. There are some broken-hearted parents in the land. Some of the kids, children, are on one vice or the other. And so, but he has come to heal the brokenhearted. That's his ministry. And it's good to know that he will give the healing that is necessary. And I thank God for this part of his ministry. Bind up the brokenhearted. Proclaim liberty to the captives. And there are the unsaved people we pray for right in this land every week. They're captives and they don't realize. They're in prison and they don't realize it. And they need the Lord. I don't know what's holding them back. Sometimes I'm baffled, aren't you? But we pray for them, and you hear preachers that come, and they preach and faithfully, fervently, and they seem to be unmoved, seem to be. I'm longing for the day that before Christ comes or before I go home to glory, where I could hear a one more wave of blessing in this land. To see that happening. To see the prison doors open and Satan not getting the victory. To see the floodgates of revival just be wide open. And where the Spirit of God will work. Oh, thank God for our healer. Thank God for our gracious master who has the answer to these problems. We can't do it in ourselves. Sometimes I want to fix it. I can't fix it. The elders can't fix it. We wish we had the ability to, but we can't. But the Lord can. We could offer prayer at people that weep when we see them or visit them. We could be the encouragement that they need. But it's only Jesus that can bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of the prisons to them that are bound. It's only him that has the answer to these things. I thank God that we still have the resources. And sometimes I have to always remind myself, the God of yesterday is the God of today, and he's the God of tomorrow. I have to keep reminding myself of that. What he did in yesteryears, he can repeat it. He's a sovereign God. But I believe he wants us to be in the spiritual condition to want it. To pray for it, to desire earnestly, to have such a burden for these things. I believe God will reward you for it, to reward us for it. Remember, he's there. He never lets you down. He never will leave you. He's always by your side. Isn't it nice to know that we got our high priest? All the high priests and the priests of the Bible days are gone. They died. But ours is still alive. Interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. Thank God for his ministry, beloved. We wouldn't be able to make it had it not been for his ministry there in the glory. Our advocate is still there, and he sticks with us. Brings to my mind an incident. Sometimes these things come to my mind, and I seem to feel filled with some human illustration. If you think it's too many or too much, you forgive me. I'm just that way. But it was Abraham Lincoln, the President of the United States of America, who visited a hospital. There was a young soldier boy there. And he didn't know he was the President. And President just said, "Son, how are you doing?" "Not well, sir." He said, "Well, is it anything that I can do for you?" said, I'd appreciate it if you could write my mother a letter. He said, sure, sir. Great president, he still didn't know who he was. He took out his pen and he said, I'll be glad to write it, son. And he said, dear mother, and my love to you. And he named his family members. And he said, I'm not well at all. I'm sinking fast. He said, but everything's all right because I'm doing it for my country. So on, so on. And he signed it. That's all. And somebody whispered to him and said, you know, this is the president. He said, this is Abraham. No, I beg your pardon. The president signed it. It's written by Abraham Lincoln for, and he gave the name of the boy. And when he looked at the bottom, Abraham Lincoln, why, you are my president. He said, I am, son. I am. He said, is there anything else that I could do for you? And here's the thing that I saw in love and typical of Abraham Lincoln. He said, would you hold my hand and see me through? And the president held that soldier boy's hand all night. Now that's not typical, or that is not done by a president. He held, George Bush went to Iraq. He was only there, what, 2 hours? If 8 with a soldier, which was a good thing. Which was a good thing. But President Lincoln stayed all night and held the hand of that soldier boy until the president said, when his hand grew stiff and cold, I knew that his life was gone. Oh, thank God we have a Savior. Right, all night? No. And the next night. And the next night. And the next night. He never lets you go. He feels every pulse of your heart. He knows every tinge of pain that one goes through. He knows of the trials and the testing, the sorrow. He knows how many tears you shed. And you've heard me say this recently, where he's got them in his bottle. And it says, and every one of those tears are numbered. There is no tear that falls down the face of a believer's cheek, but that he knows about. Oh, thank God for ours. This is a Christmas story, man. This is what I believe the Christmas story is all about. The Savior who came as a babe was just part of it. Majestic and miraculous. But this was his ministry. And the prisoners have been loosed. Oh, I thank God he loosed this prisoner. Brought me out even at nearly 16 years of age. And you've heard me tell it before, I know. Well, they used to call me Young Devil. You know that, don't you? How many know that? Let me see your hand. That's 3. My nickname was given to me at 5 years of age because I was teasing some of these colored gentlemen in a barn. We lived in a colored community. That's why I'm not saying that they were the only ones, but I learned how to curse from those same fellas in that barn at 5 years of age. They live almost next door. Make a long story short. They say, he's a devil. That's what he is. He's a devil. Would you believe they never let go? My buddies, all my white friends now, and one colored boy who was a friend, we used to travel together. That's all they call me. The devil. Young devil, they would say. Young devil. You know, after a while, I accepted that name as if it was reality. That was my name. Seldom they ever call me Frank. You know, that's something to have a name like that for 10 years. I wonder sometime, maybe God had a special interest in me because of it. I don't know. But when I gave my heart to the Lord, and you know the rest, and years later, I became so burdened, came to the Bahamas. Now, at that time, I was out here 45 years, and I went to Bermuda. And walking down Front Street one night with my friend Bobby Barton, and Emily's cousin, Uncle Walter, we call him. And there was a carriage driver, an old man. He said, Bobby, come here. He said, is that the devil going down there? Can you imagine that all those years? Is that the devil going down there? He said, yeah, but man, you know, he's been converted. He's a missionary down in the Bahamas. He said, I heard that he took to preaching. He said, well, I'll be the devil's come back home. Can you imagine that after all those years? That name has not been let go. But thank God, my name's written. in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it could say this, he was a devil, but now he's my child. And you say the same thing. It's the same thing for every believer. We were captives, but he snapped the chains that bound us, and he set us free. And here we are today, enjoying it. And we do well to come, let us adore him. Believe me, because he is deserving of all of this, and even more. Thank God, beloved. Now you and I go out, and we serve him in the same way. And then later on it says, the oil of joy for mourning, beauty for ashes, comfort them that mourn. Oh, love, we don't have time to go into all these things. But that's the ministry of the Lord Jesus. That's the truth of Christmas. That's the message that we herald. And you get into chapter 62, he's called a new name. Or we're called by a new name. And thou shalt be a crown of glory. And no more forsaken by him. And called Hephzibah, his delight. And that's, you read that chapter. A lot of blessings from there to the balance of the book, really. They should be called Hephzibah, the delight of the Lord. Now, don't name your little boy that, Hephzibah. That's a little difficult to get out. And but it's a beautiful title, a beautiful thing that God has done for his children. I realize it's applicable to Israel. And they rejected him when he came. And they forfeited the blessings. But then he turned to the Gentiles. We came in for that blessing because they said no to him. And I'm not glad that they rejected in that sense because they forfeited the blessing. They even invoked a curse on him. Said, let his blood be upon us and our children. Can you imagine? But away with this man. Bitter and hatred filled their heart. I had no place for him. Ah, thank God, it's different with you. And he gave us a heart. He melted us, changed our life, and we have been blessed. There's so much that I have to leave out this morning. Maybe, Lord willing, next Sunday we'll continue it again. But may the Lord help us to do our part and to minister as he wants us to minister, to be what he wants us to be, and our own strength. Sometimes I feel so weak, like Morris said the other night, you know, what his testimony was short, but was right on target because, you know, we're all prone to the same way. And, it sort of, blessed my heart. I said, well, I got a little bit of company in this island. I'm not the only one. Oh, beloved, but God is good, is he not? Let's serve him today. Let's be what some kindness that we can show. Here we go again. Strike a note of kindness made me think of a boy that was on crutches selling fruit for his mama. He waiting outside the train. The train people got off. Hey, I want to be quick about this. And when he got off, this man knocked him down. The fruit went sprawling all over the ground. But there was another man by, and he went and he helped him pick up all of the fruit. Picked up the fruit and put it back in his basket. But he did something extra. That's the thing that caught my attention. He put a dollar in the basket along with the fruit. That boy was so happy when he saw that dollar, and somebody took time out to help him. And when he walked away, he said, son, I hope you have a better day. And when he walked to go away, he said, mister, he said, are you Jesus Christ? And he said, no, son. He says, I'm only a servant of his. Father, we thank you indeed for your kindness to us today. Pray indeed, O God, the lessons of this chapter, as manifested perfectly by the Lord Jesus Christ, would be also our desire. We need you, Lord. We need your help. We can't do it without you. We know what the flesh can do. In the flesh dwelleth no good thing. And so, but you working through us and in us today, we can make this Christmas a far more beautiful place to live in. But at least this part of the world. Remember the unfortunate. Remember the poor, the desolate, for those that are cold, living under highway bridges, setting little fires here and there to try to keep warm, digging into garbage cans for a little morsel to eat. When we throw away so much here in this part of the world. Oh, God. You have the answer to these problems, Help us today. Bless your dear children. We thank you for each one here and for those that could not be here. We thank you for them as well. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.